Go ahead and turn with us tonight to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And we will begin reading from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Say, whole armor. Take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Say, withstand. To withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As the Lord began to deal with me this afternoon, as I prayed and sought him for a word, the Lord began to open up my eyes about how that we go through many battles, oftentimes unprepared to handle them the way that God would equip us to handle them. Tonight, God is bringing out this word, not for those that are wimps, but for those that are ready to win some battles, for those that are going to take a stand against the devil. The Lord is looking for somebody to take a stand. You've been wanting to win these battles for a long time, and the Lord has heard your heart's cry. I don't just come up with stuff to preach just because I think that it'll help you, but I seek the face of God, and the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God and brings unto me the little bit that I can bring out for you. So I'm here tonight not because I think I'm anything, but I'm here tonight because I love you and am concerned about you gaining victory over the hand of the devil. You see, as we read in the Word of God, it says that he is seeking whom he may devour. When I read that, it says he's seeking who is vulnerable. When we are not putting on everything that God has given us to put on, hallelujah, we're missing all the pieces that we need to overcome things that God had intended for us to overcome. I read about Paul in this letter to Timothy. He was writing this letter in jail. He'd been through many things in his life, but knowing that he had been through some things, he had learned that there are a few virtues that we need to learn to put on our Christian life so that we're able to overcome every attack that the devil would begin to attack in. Paul, being himself and being one of great detail, began to bring out each piece of what we would need. I believe with all my heart that while he was in prison, he was under the anointing of God when God brought this to his memory, when he began to instruct others, because he had compassion on those that had not yet went through the battle, and he had love for those that had not went through it yet. And God loves us enough that through the prophetic word, through the spoken word, through prayer, that through supplication, through preaching, through evangelizing, and through almighty signs and wonders that are demonstrated, we are then warned and made known of what things are to come of the devil. We start out with, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. There are many gifts that God has given us to use, yet we only choose to use the ones that are comfortable for us. But God has called each and every one of us to use all of it. Therefore, being whole, hallelujah, I am made whole not only by the baptism of my salvation, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost that's upon me. And I'm not only made whole by those virtues, but the same gifts that he's given me to use. Therefore, I'm made whole and complete, and am able to be a full service to God. We can get to a place where we know that we're saved, but if we don't yield and of the Holy Ghost will not be prepared for things that the Holy Ghost could have brought us through. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach it whether we want it or not. Sometimes when the Spirit of God will try to help us through tough trials, we refuse to let Him lead us, and we'll walk right through that trouble expecting a good outcome, yet every single time we'll fall down and fail. And we as Christians, when we fail, we tend to be the most bitter people that I've ever met. You'll find people that are lost that can handle cancer a whole lot better than we can. You'll find people that don't know Christ that are still able to endure life. So what is it that the Spirit does for us when we begin to put it on? It'll cause us to not only endure a trial, but it gives us everything we need to be brought through it as an overcomer. The devil would want you to go through the same old thing day in and day out. He'd want you to fight the same old fight day in and day out. He wants you to stumble in the same old things day in and day out. Because if he can keep you here, he can keep you from going there. If he can hold you down here, he knows that there's not going to be any more blessings that you will be upon other people. You see, there's a gift within you that if you will put it on and use it, then you'll be able to bless other people. And the moment that you bless others, you'll go out with that attack. And we're going to preach it and put the enemy underneath your feet. I don't know if we're ready for this. We're about to blow it out the box. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. I read that, and it tells me that I can do it. I can do it. You can do it tonight. There's something out there for you. You may not have reached it yet. There's a spirit that is ready to rise up from within you. It said, like rivers of living water will begin to flow out of you. There is an anointing that you think that you may have reached, but there are deeper depths to be had in this anointing. There is a greater faith to be had in this. There is a greater journey to be taken in this walk of life. It's not just to be frustrated, but it's to let the Spirit of God make you whole, to make you able to overcome. Hallelujah. I praise Him tonight that when He saved me, He gave me something that when the devil would try to come back to me with the same old thing, that I'm able to say, devil, you may have tempted me 10 years ago with this same attack, but I'm wearing an armor that has made me more than able to endure these things. Some of us are tired tonight. I could have stayed home and laid in the bed and felt much better than I would think, but God had some greater purpose in me that I'd be here for you, because we've got to learn to fight the good fight. We've got to learn to fight the good fight. If you're ever going to win, you've got to learn how to fight. And if you're ever going to fight, you've got to put on the whole armor of God. If you're going to put it on, you've got to receive it. If you're going to put it on, you've got to receive it. Man, I feel the anointing. You have got to receive the spiritual gifts that God has for you. For there is greater to be had in worship, greater to be had in receiving the Word of God. I'm so proud of our choir. We are making so much progress. You could take that kind of choir somewhere and reach out to a lost and dying world. Yet we as Christians get normal. Get used to it. Just take it for granted that we have almighty worship. But there's going to come a day when I'm going to need it, and I'm going to receive it now so that I'm prepared to move on. I'm prepared to go on. You see, the devil would have us to stay in this same old battle, so we don't demonstrate the spiritual gifts that we could use when we take on everything that God has. There's some of us in here, I didn't want to say it, but I'm going to. There's some of us in here that could receive a greater armor of God, that could have an outpouring to be more protected, so that when the devil tries to come at you, you won't listen to the same old thing that you'd heard, and you won't get discouraged in the same old way. You see, we serve a God that has given us power and dominion over all the principalities, all the powers of darkness. There is a wickedness in this world right now that will take you down. I don't care how long you've been saved. There is a wickedness in this place that will bring you down if you're not prepared. I preach this way because I know that you're going to be facing things that in yourself, you're not going to be able to handle them. And every time that we go through it without God, how many of you can write this story for me? Every time we try to do it without God, we lose our ability to pray, and we lose our devotion time, and we begin to lose the good thoughts that God would have us think upon Him through the day. and negative things begin to all of a sudden be surrounding us. Because I don't know if you can see it, but I feel an urgency to preach it like this. The devil is, he's just waiting for you. The more room that you'll give him, the more leeway that you'll give him, he'll come creeping in, trying to get his voice in your ear so that you'll lay down your Christian walk and to give up to this world. But I want to preach to you right now that no matter what the devil may try to do, that if you put on all of God's protection, he can get as close as he wants to. He can smite your body. He can smite your mind, but he cannot take the soul. He can try to attack you, attack your will, attack your free will, but he cannot take what God has given you. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. To literally gird your loins means to take long garments and to tie them upon you. Because it is much easier to work when you have all of your wardrobe tied up. So that's pretty much calling it a belt. There's something about being strapped in and holding yourself together with the truth and knowledge of God's word. You will understand the truth of how you should live your life through the Spirit of God that speaks to us through the Holy Ghost. As you will gird yourself with the truth, you'll be able to work and do the work of God. They may not clap for you when you testify. They may not praise the Lord when you sing your song. They may not come and tell you that it was a wonderful sermon. They may not appreciate the CDs that you make for them. They may not come by and shake your hand. They may not ask you to take the pulpit, but I'm telling you, I serve a God that's told me the truth, and I know that if I mind him, he'll bless me. If I mind him, he'll give me my provision. I won't have to fight and beg for all the things I need, but he girds me with the truth that I know that if I'll serve him in the good days and serve him in the bad days, that I'm going to come through this trial with victory. Help me, church, having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is known as the protection that was laid upon the torso of the Roman army. A breastplate protects the vital organs that you possess in your body. We're talking about your heart and your lungs, all protected. Everything that's vital, covered up with a breastplate. When you compare righteousness as being a breastplate, there's a mystery to be unfolded. That the most vulnerable thing that the devil can take from you is when you do not walk in righteousness. As we live right before God, we begin to put on something that if you don't have a breastplate on, let me tell you, anybody in the Roman army that didn't wear a breastplate was killed immediately by things that struck them in the most vulnerable of places. So there's something to be said that if we're not living righteously before God, that we're missing out on the greatest protection that will keep you alive. There are things that can come suddenly. I feel this prophetically under the anointing. There are things that come suddenly that if we're not living right, if we're not talking right, if we're not doing what God has called us to do, then those things that would normally just bounce right off your breastplate will bring you down quicker. It can just be one word. One word. Somebody can call you a coward and you take offense, and somebody can call you a hypocrite and it'll cause you to lose your Christianity. But let me tell you, when you're living right before God, they can say everything that they want to say, but there's nothing they can say that will come through the protection of living right. If you're living right before God, you don't have to worry about how people judge you. If you're living right before God, you don't have to stand up and evangelize to prove to God that you love him. It's through living right that you're protected in the most vital of places. Without a heartbeat, your blood cannot flow. Without a heartbeat, your blood cannot flow. Without having that life source of the Spirit within us, living right before God, the devil will take the very life source that'll cause us to stir up, knowing that we're bought by the blood of the Lamb. So I want to protect tonight everything that is dear to me, everything that is dear unto my life, unto my soul. And how do we do it? It's not by how high you can jump. It's not how loud you can shout. I love to shout. I love to dance. But I've got to live right. Because you can shout all you want, brothers and sisters. And you can dance on the pews. And you can run around the building. But if you're not getting your conversation in order, and you're not talking the way God has called you to talk, you're losing out. When the devil comes to strike you, when you are most vulnerable. Many of us may look down and see that righteousness be laying on the ground. Because I'm telling you, no matter how much we try to justify it, it's not right to talk about people. It's not. When we cast judgment upon another, we're throwing off our righteousness and saying, that I must think I'm strong enough to handle a few things. Have you ever heard the expression that when you're pointing out somebody, that you got four more fingers pointing back at you? How can we try to pull out a splinter out of somebody's eye when in our own life, without righteousness, we have so much that we wouldn't want to confess? It's like a great big moat that we're ashamed of to show, but we have got to put on something that will protect us. I'm trying to preach this the best that God has shown me. If we will learn to control our conversation, if we will learn to make more sound decisions, I'm talking about how you spend your money, and I'm talking about how you dedicate your life and your time, how you're praying through the week, how you're reading the Word of God. I'm getting into your personal life right now. How you will turn off the TV when it's something that you don't need. How you'll turn off YouTube when it's something so ridiculous that you don't need to be watching. I'm talking about when Facebook goes from a 5-minute message check to a 4-hour affair. I'm talking about getting to a place where we will turn off the things that the devil's trying to strike into the depths of our heart. We don't need to get so angry that we've got to worry about if we're going to cuss or not. And we've got to get to a place where we will let God control our tongue. There's power of life and death inside of you. There's wind inside of your spirit that brings life into that tongue. So if you're not protecting this, you're going to say things that are of death. If you're dying inside, you're going to speak death. If you're dying inside, somebody needs this. You're speaking negatively. You don't need me to tell you when. You know exactly when it is. The moment you feel vulnerable, you begin to doubt within yourself and say, I don't know if God's going to be able. So I'm just going to have to settle for how this is. But when we take off doing everything God has called us to do, we're susceptible to things that He's protecting us from. And your feet shod with the preparation of peace. A spiritual shoe is something that aids our movement and defense, and it's not relative to our appearance. To appreciate the shoes that you wear, and I'm gonna use the ladies for an example. I don't know what it is. Some men like guns. Some men like ATVs. Some men like having nice suits. I've discovered through the years and through my marriage that women like shoes. And ladies, I know you can attest to this because I've seen my wife go through it. You want a shoe that looks good, so you try to pay less for it to get the look. But the moment that you try to walk in it, you get blisters. You'll come on, ladies, somebody give me an amen. You start walking and you get blisters on your feet. And men, too stubborn to admit that the shoe don't really fit right, we'll try to walk in it and we have our feet rubbed raw in less than 10 minutes of time as soon as we put them on. So I'm saying that to appreciate the shoes that you're walking in, you've got to know what they're made of. God did not give you some shoes that are cheap. He didn't give you something that was going to run out and wear out. The preparation of the gospel, when you compare that to how we wear shoes that keep us moving, you read in, I believe it's in Luke chapter 2 in verse 10, but it's talking about having the good news of God. That He said, behold, I bring good tidings of great joy that should be to all people, for unto this day we receive a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The preparation of the gospel was that knowing that Jesus Christ was coming to die for our sins. So when we walk in the shoes that we have today, they're not some cheap thing. And Jesus didn't go the cheap way either. He could have said, just give me 39 lashes and I'm done with this. He could have said, pierce my side and that's enough for them that do not deserve salvation. He could have said, just take the crown of thorns off of me because it hurts my head to have it upon me. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. If you don't understand what it is that's keeping you walking, then you've not read in the word that I've read that said He was beat with a cat of nine tails and that they pierced His side, that were trying to bring great suffering upon Him. So the shoes that I walk with today are no cheap thing, but it's going to bring me through every trial that I'm walking in. If you don't already know how saved you are, then look down at your shoes and see just how far, whoa, just how far that you've came. Oh, we need to praise Him. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. You need to consider how far you've came in those shoes. Since God saved your life, have you not been brought through things you would have never got through on your own? Without those shoes, you were without them. You couldn't have walked through the hot coals without God's protection. The shoes of the children of
of Israel did not run out because God loved them enough that they would have something to endure the journey. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight? We have more than enough. The substance of how we walk our Christian life was founded on a material that is eternal, was founded on a substance that washes away all of our sin, casting it into the sea of forgetfulness. So that should tell you the walk you walk is not your own. You are not alone. Look at somebody, give them a high five, shake their hand, tell them, look at them and say, you're not alone. Look at somebody, you're not alone. Hallelujah, you're not alone. Look at them, tell them, say, look down at your shoes. Hallelujah, look down at your shoes. Hallelujah, you might think they may be worn and they may have been through some things. They might have a little dirt on them from all the hard times that you've been through. Man, I feel it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this, but I looked down at my shoes and I didn't think I had a way, but they've got covered with some stuff through the years, but they've never failed me, and God has never failed me. He's been there for me, and He's been there for you, and that which you have will keep you through all of your life. You may not have the money you think you need, but you're wearing something. Man, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You've got something that will bring you through everything that you're going through. Just go back to the last thing God brought you out of. You're walking in the same faith that you had in that thing, and God's saying, put on that preparation that I made for you so you'll realize I'm able to go through it. I'm telling you, you're going to have to help me.
You may not have walked in the steps that I walked, but He's never failed me. I've been brought through too much to not recognize where my help comes from.
Amen.
God is a God that never sleeps, and He's there with you all the day long. So it is, as you wear it, always with you.
Verse 16. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench what? The fiery darts of the wicked. The Lord spoke this to me prophetically. The fiery darts are intended to bring doubt into your inner confidence, to withstand the trial and to keep fighting. But when we hold up a shield, if you see the shields of old, the ones that were most effective were the ones that the Romans bore. They used to go with the really tall ones in medieval times. They'd be as tall as they were. But they found that that wasn't nimble enough to be quick to withstand everything. So you may think that you need something really big to defend what the devil's trying to steal from you. But it takes just a little bit of hope, a little bit of faith to yield up and to believe that if God blessed me back there, that He's going to bless me there. A shield begins to protect every part of you when you will use it actively to the present force against you. So that's to say that when I am faithful where I am being attacked, elders, we need this if we're going to continue to be stirred. When I am faithful in an area where I am vulnerable and I put up the promises of God and doubt not in my heart, all the fiery darts, listen, fiery darts come in and they'll hit you, but all of a sudden it begins to burn. Darts alone wouldn't hurt that bad. Sort of like a bullet. It can go right through you. And it doesn't really hurt necessarily until a little bit later. But fiery darts will hit you on impact and begin to burn the surrounding area. Have you heard the phrase, it's the little foxes that spoils the vine? It doesn't take a great big thing to start you to be vulnerable. It just takes a little bit of an attack. And when we're not faithful in a trial and we let down our guard, that fiery dart's going to hit you somewhere, wherever it applies. It could be your righteousness. It could hit you in the depths of your heart and cause you just to stumble immediately. It can be down at your feet to try to cause you to stop in your walk with God. And as we'll read on, it could cause you in your mind, through your salvation that you guard every day in your mind, it could cause you to think that you're not saved. I couldn't tell you the amount of people that I have seen pray that have questioned their salvation. But let me tell you, that which God gives is golden. It's a gift that is irrevocable. It's something that's with you if you will receive it and believe it and live right with God. It's something that never leaves you if you will believe it. But if we're not guarding with faith, we don't ever want to talk about when we doubt, but every person sitting here in a pew right now has doubted about something. We can admit it or not. Who's going to admit it with me? Amen. How many times have we doubted in something that we know that God could do? And I'm talking as something as big as cancer or something as small as the headache you have. If you read the Word of God and believe that He raised the dead, He can heal your migraine. I used to have migraines all the time. I was scanned upside down, inside out, left side, right side, upside down, every single way that they could look at me. And they just gave me the best diagnosis they knew how and threw some medicine at me. And I tried it for a while, but let me tell you, it didn't help. I would still hurt. And I realized that as God has healed me from that, that He was using this small thing as a test of my faith. Yet I was dropping my guard to not think that God was able to heal me. And I remember, I'll never forget it, it was one night we were here in church, and it was sort of a quiet service, and it was one of the first times that I ever just took off walking and praising Him in the aisle. And I remember something came down, it was like it literally laid on top of my head. I felt a warmth come over me. If you ever hear anybody testify of how the Holy Ghost will heal them, they normally testify that they felt a warmth that was over them. And I felt a warmth hit me on top of my head, and the same medicine I used to take, I don't take anymore. And the same pains that I used to have, I don't have them anymore. And when the enemy tries to come back and give me a flare up of it every now and then, I put up my shield of faith and say, I rebuke every fiery dart that is causing me to try to think that this thing is incurable, trying to cause me to think that there's this one thing that's going to keep me from preaching. If you've ever had a real migraine, you don't want to be around anybody. You want to be in the bed with the lights off, with the sound off, and nobody around. But God is a healer. He is a healer. I'm testifying to you tonight that He has healed this preacher, not because of any message I preached, but one night I got up off my pew and I said, God, I'm ready, and Lord, I believe it, and I put my shield of faith up and I received my healing. Some of the greatest healings you hear people testify of were in a setting that weren't conventional to tradition. So they didn't go through the three songs and shake hands and prayer requests and offerings and announcements and worship and messages and altar calls. It was a house service somewhere where somebody finally got desperate enough to believe that the Lord would heal them. I'm telling you, when you're hungry enough, even if it was a burnt cheeseburger, you'd look at that thing after a while and say, man, I'm hungry. I need to be fulfilled. And if we'll get hungry enough to believe that He'll heal us, believe that He will heal those we lay hands on, when we get hungry enough to believe it, that's when I know with all that's in me that God will do it. I've been witness to some many great healings, some small healings, some big healings, but every time there was somebody that had the faith to believe it and was hungry enough to pursue it until they felt the hand of God begin to move. That faith you have, you read it in